Does God use signs? Anyone? Ron?
He did for Israel.
Okay.
Just the blood moon sign.
Let's start with Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew 12, 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. I have long clung to that verse and suggested that signs are ridiculous, but I'm rethinking that a little bit. Read on here. He says, There shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So he rebuked them because of their heart. But then he said, I'll give you a sign. I'll be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights, and then I'm coming back. Just like Jonah was in that whale's belly. Look at Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ahaz, a king of the southern kingdom of Judah, the kingdoms are split. The north is about to be taken captive by the Assyrians. And Isaiah also speaks about the Babylonian captivity, which will follow that about 125 years later. But this king is the king of the southern kingdom. And he says, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. So God says, He is inviting him to ask for a sign. Show me something. Or I'll ask for me to show you something. Excuse me. But Ahaz said, I'll not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. He's more spiritual than God, I guess. And he said, Hear ye now, house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So right there, he's telling them, north and south, you're not going to have a king. Forsaken of both your kings. But the sign, before, there's going to be a virgin that's going to conceive and bear a son. Notice that the two verses we looked at, it's about Jesus Christ. Here, the birth. In Matthew chapter 12, the death, burial, and resurrection. Signs associated with that. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And verse 14. Of course, this is creation. And it's the fourth day, and God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. What divides day from night? The sun. Which is a light. All right? And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Now, we clearly understand the days and the years and the seasons. But he said also that they are to be for signs. Those lights that he put up in the heavens, that's there for signs, as well as for seasons and days and years. Psalm 19. Psalm chapter 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. The psalmist is really expanding, it seems, on that one aspect of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, that these things are for signs. That God speaks through the heavens. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set as a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Now, I'll admit it, I could be stretching it just a bit, but I see Jesus Christ in that. Because he's a bridegroom. And there's coming a time when he's going to burst forth out of his chamber for his bride. The trump's going to sound. The archangel's going to shout. And we're going to rise up and go to be with our groom in heaven. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And then, let's see. I should have looked this up. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over the young child, where the young child was. They were led by a sign from heaven to the birthplace of Jesus Christ. These wise men from the east. And all this specifically relates to Jesus Christ that we've looked at thus far. Interesting, isn't it? God does use signs. Now, be careful. Because I think we can easily get carried away with this and begin to speculate and really extrapolate something God never intended. But the fact does remain that God has used the signs in the heaven for his purposes, and for communicating with mankind. You go back and think about Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. What Bible did Job have? He lived about the same time that Abraham did. What Bible did Abraham have? Moses wasn't even born yet. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. No Bible existed. But you go back and you study the book of Job, and he says, after worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He believed in a resurrection. Job understood some things, a lot of things, that probably some people today, Christians today, don't even understand. Where do you get that knowledge? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Romans chapter 1 tells us that the... let's look at that. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Even the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Folks like to say, well, what about the heathen in darkest Africa who've never heard about Jesus Christ? Says they're without excuse. Because if nothing else, God's revealed himself to man through his creation, and most specifically, the heavens. God uses the heavens as a sign to us. Look at Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 and verse 30. Joel says this, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. God says he's going to do some things in the heavens specifically before the great and terrible day comes. Go to Acts chapter 2. Peter in Acts chapter 2 is preaching at Pentecost, preaching to the Jews, condemning them for their part in the crucifixion. They're condemning Jesus Christ to death. In verse 19, he says this, let's start verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. He's quoting Joel chapter 2. Peter's quoting what we just read over there. He says, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. He says, this is what God is going to do. Though it's not necessary, Peter's backing up what Joel said. And he says, this is something that is going to come, and it's going to be a precursor of some other things that are to follow that. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Now, Matthew chapter 24 falls squarely in dealing with the tribulation period, the time that begins after the rapture, the 7 years of the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth. And in the midst of that, he says this, beginning in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. A sign will appear in heaven. What's the purpose of a sign? Yes. To guide, okay. A warning? Were you going to say something, Dan?
Seems like from what you've been presenting, an announcement of the Lord.
Okay. You drive down the road, and a sign says, workmen ahead. Of course, sometimes that doesn't mean anything. But it's a warning. Or it can be a guide. You know, your exit's in 3 miles, or whatever the case may be. But it's to speak of something that's coming, correct? He says there's going to be some signs to address some things that are coming. And Matthew chapter 24 talks about a number of things. Famines, pestilence, Ebola, earthquakes in diverse places, men's hearts failing them. He says all these things must come to pass. You know what it says after that? But the end is not yet. That means we can see some of this stuff. We may see some of this stuff. I'll use some caution here. I'm not saying it's definitely we're going to see something. But I find it hard to believe we wouldn't have at least some indication before the event occurs. Signs. We're to watch for them. And I think what's taking place in the Mideast right now can be a very significant part of that. What are you seeing? All these people assembling around Israel, just waiting for the opportunity to pounce to try to destroy her. The signs. I think they're all around us. Let's one more passage, Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory? And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now again, this is looking at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. We're not going to be here. That's not the rapture. That, you know, verse 27, when you shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. That's Revelation chapter 1. Every eye shall see Him. That's when everybody sees Him. We won't see Him. He's going to come in the clouds. We're going to be caught up to be with Him. Kind of a secret snatching away. That's not what this is. This is after the seven-year tribulation. There are some signs there associated with that thing. But we could very well be beginning to see some of those signs now. If that be the case, and again, that caution out there, if, we're pretty close. We could be real close. We could be close enough that there is no meeting next Sunday, except in the air, which would be just fine. But just some thoughts, and chew on that a little bit, and be attentive, be looking.